Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now.
We are just a couple of weeks away from the winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere. I have been joyously creating the ritual and altar for the online Yule ceremony, which is coming up on Thursday, December 21st, 2023 at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to the magic of a second Zoom camera, you'll be able to see my altar as if we were all sitting around it to witness the symbolic return of the light in the ritual. You'll also journey, participate in group divination, and bless America's wolves, whose return has been less welcomed than the sun's by some. I hope you'll join me as the wheel turns into the time of reflection. Check the show notes for a link to the event for information and registration. If you get my email newsletters, you'll find the event listed in those too, so be sure to scroll down. I have to say, when I give Jen Van Benschoten an assignment, she comes through. We're in the month of December, which I have themed introspection. In the turning inward, I wanted to consider how we resource ourselves for the winter ahead. So along came Jen with a brilliant introduction to the Scandinavian concept of hygge and an exploration of the hermit in the tarot. If you haven't heard one of Jen's episodes before, you should definitely go back and listen. Jen is an amazing tarot reader and teacher, a maker of gorgeous magical gemstone jewelry, and she's a musician who must have an enchanted ukulele because the songs she writes for it are just wonderful and not at all like the ukulele music I'm used to hearing. She's out on the socials as Hot Mess Healing, and you'll find her link in the show notes. Jen, I am so happy to have you back again, and I'm really looking forward to this episode's topic.
Thank you for having me again. I'm kind of excited to be here too. So, when you were talking about, you're ta telling me about the topics for this particular month, about how to survive winter. The first thing that popped into my mind was the Hermit card in tarot. And I'm going to get into that. So I'm going to talk a lot about that, but I'm also going to talk about, how to survive an Adirondack winter. they're not the Adirondack winters are changing for sure since I moved up here like 24 years ago, 24, 25 years ago. The winters are definitely changing, but they still can be pretty challenging for a lot of people. And there's not a lot of chance, there's not a lot of opportunity to get outdoors anymore, as we've seen the climate change. And so we're all kind of asked to turn inward. And I remember one of my son's teachers, I think it was his fifth grade teacher, said in her intro when she started at the school, she gave a little brief bio, and she said she was an indoor activities enthusiast. And I thought, I like this woman already. I thought, I love this woman already. So to get started, so to tell you a little bit of my story about the Hermit card came up for me a few months ago. And earlier this year, I was up at a local witchy metaphysical shop and buying myself a little pink cauldron. And while I was at the checkout, they have all these little upsells, and they had this box of cute little packets called the Gift Tarot. And it's basically three random tarot cards from the Rider-Waite tarot deck. And you can either use them to do a mini reading for yourself, or, like the name implies, the Gift Tarot, you can give them away to someone else. So I was like, yeah, it's $2.50. Why not? It sucked me in. So I got one. I threw it in there with my little pink cauldron. And then I went home, and a few days later on the full moon, I was breaking in my little cauldron, and I decided I would do a little ritual, a little ceremony, and I would use that gift tarot to do a reading for myself when I was initiating my little cauldron. So I opened up the reading, I opened up the little envelope, and the first card that I saw was the Hermit. And to put it in context, at this time I was kind of trying to feel my way back into some kind of re-entry to the world. We all know that, like, the last few years since 2020, things have been pretty challenging. And there's the energy of the Hermit right there for you, right? When we were all asked to stay home. And I'm going to get into that later too. But I was trying to kind of feel my way back into things. And I was like, oh, maybe I could do this, maybe I could do this. I was trying to figure out, am I ready to start putting myself back out there again? I've got some challenges that I didn't have 3 years ago. And so naturally I opened up the tarot reading, and the first card that comes out is the Hermit. So you can imagine the words that came out of my mouth when I saw this. It was speaking in tongues, in a manner of speaking, when I saw the Hermit, because I was like, well, so maybe I do need to take a little more time to do a little more introspection, and as it turned out, it was accurate, and I did have to spend another couple of months kind of focusing on my physical health before I was able to really start thinking about putting feelers out there again. And so, talking about the Hermit, right? Some of the energy behind it, and this is a great card for getting through winter, right? We've all kind of been conditioned by this capitalist nonsense that we have to produce 24/7, 365. And I remember I started really feeling into this energy of the Hermit when I got into my first yoga teacher training, which was with you many years ago. It was like almost 11, it was 10 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I think. It was a long time ago. But I remember feeling for the first time, like through my yoga practice, I was able to, you know, between the yoga practice and my study of Ayurveda, I was able to really, you know, identify what I was feeling in the winter. Because, you know, I'd always had this sensation, this observation, but I never quite knew what to do with it. And so I just kept on keeping on, you know. And I remember, like, this was the first time that I was ever to really understand what it was that I was feeling. You know, I was feeling this biological need to slow down. You know, everything slows down in winter, right? And up here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're slowing down. In the Southern Hemisphere, you know, my friends in Australia, they're ramping up because it's actually getting to be summertime down there, you know, that opposite part of the wheel of the year. But up here, you know, I've always kind of felt this urge to just slow down and chill, you know, in the wintertime. And this is what the hermit is really all about, you know, and looking at the imagery on this card, you know, when you're looking at the Rider-Waite deck, or you're looking even at the Robin Wood deck, which is the deck that I learned on, which, you know, is very, very, very close to the images on the original Rider-Waite deck. You look at the images and, you know, there's a person in the Rider-Waite. It's a man standing on top of a mountain with a lantern with a light in it. And, you know, in some of these, some of them, you know, you'll see him holding the light out over a village below and just kind of gazing down at what's happening down there, you know, kind of like the Grinch who stole Christmas. He's up there gazing down at the village. And looking, you know, when you dive a little deeper into some of that symbolism, first you see the mountain that he's on top of, and that mountain is your lived experience, you know, and this applies to everybody. You know, we all have a lived experience that has imparted some kind of innate wisdom to us, you know, and this wisdom, it's not something that you can learn in a class. You can't pay for it. It's, you know, this is really your life experience and how that has shaped you and the challenges that you've overcome, because we've all overcome some kind of challenges in life to get where we are now. I don't think I know a single person who hasn't had to overcome something that has, you know, that has left them, you know, that we've all had these things in our lives that have left us with this experience that we can translate, that we can turn into some kind of innate wisdom. So there's that, right? And then, you know, you're looking at the color behind it, you're looking at the dark sky, the midnight blue behind it, right? That's, you know, and that color, talking about colors as symbolism, you know, looking at that color, that's the color that's associated with the third eye chakra, with the sixth chakra, which is your pineal gland right between your eyes in the center of your forehead. And I know I may have mentioned this before, a lot of people think that this is your center of intuition, but it's actually not your center of intuition. It's your center of wisdom. It's the center, you know, it's the part, it's that energy center where you can see past the illusions. And certainly being up on top of that mountain, you know, that gives you a certain perspective to kind of see past the illusions. Like when you take that step back, you can, it gives you space to see past the illusions that we live with every single day. And gives you that chance to discern, you know, which illusions are worth holding on to and which illusions may not be serving you and are ready to be cast away, right? And then, you know, when you look at what he's holding, he's got a light and a lantern. In many decks that stick to this traditional symbolism, it's a Solomon seal symbol, which ironically is sometimes associated with the crone and her wisdom. And this is definitely the season of the crone right now. You know, maybe, you know, so maybe if the Rider-Waite deck weren't so wrapped up in the patriarchy, it would actually be a woman on top of the mountain instead of a man, you know. It would be that wisdom of the crone and that lived experience that, we're shining that light of wisdom down on everything around us. And so taking all, keeping all this in mind, where are we going with this? We're moving towards the darkest night of the year, the longest night of the year up here in the Northern Hemisphere. In just a couple of weeks, it'll be winter solstice. So it means we reach the darkest part of the year, but by no means is it the coldest part of the year. Up here, generally February, January, February, and March tend to be the coldest months up here in the Adirondacks. But after we hit winter solstice, the days are going to start to become just imperceptibly longer, and we may not feel it right away because it's getting colder and colder, but these little snippets, seconds of daylight are going to start to work their way back into our days, and I kind of think of it as like, that those seconds of light, associating with the light coming out of the hermit's lantern, it's coming back, the light is coming back. But because it's getting cold, this is a good time for many of us to just kind of hunker down and turn inward. And a lot of people think that, that when you turn inward, especially when you're talking about it in like a spiritual context, it means you have to avoid being in the physical world. And that's only true to some degree, and again, when we talk about this, this compulsion to produce 24/7, 365, we tend to gloss over and ignore or block out, the difficult things. And we try to distract ourselves. We distract ourselves with going out to eat or, doing things like, where are you going to go this weekend? What are you going to do? Da, da, da. And we tend to get wrapped up in these things, and it gets to the point where it's just kind of mindless. And not that these things are just bad in and of themselves. I was reminiscing to a friend the other day about how much I miss going to off, like way off Broadway shows and plays, back when I lived down just outside of New York City. And and I but it gets to the point where, where we constantly have we feel like we have to constantly fill up our days so that we don't have a single bit of unstructured time, and I see this a lot with kids as well. Like, there are so many kids that, they have zero unstructured time. And it's really important for us to have that time to daydream. Your one of your shamanic Reiki teachers talks about that in a book. I'm reading one of her books right now. Lynn Roberts, she talks about how we need this unstructured time. We need this time to let our minds rest and let our bodies rest. And the winter is really the perfect time to do that. It's the perfect time to just kind of hunker down, and I'm not saying, like, don't go out to a movie, because movies are fun. But it's, this is the perfect time to kind of settle in and just kind of chill. And, I remember, when the pandemic first hit in 2020 and things started shutting down in March of 2020, I remember how, restaurants shut down. They were doing takeout only, and movie theaters were shut down, and Broadway theaters were shut down, and all these places where people gathered, shopping malls, all these places were shut down, and people freaked out because they didn't have these distractions to keep them moving. And Ayurveda looks at American society, looks at US society, and categorizes it under the Vata element, which is very cold and very quick moving, lots of movement. It's cold and dry and quick moving. And, you know, so when all this slowed down, when everything slowed down and came to a grinding halt, everybody kind of freaked out and lost their minds, you know, and not just because we were dealing with, you know, a potentially deadly disease of unknown origin that, you know, there was a lot going on there, but, you know, we were also dealing with this sudden removal of pretty much everything that we used to distract ourselves. Like some people were home from work, so they weren't going into the office every day. You know, we weren't commuting anywhere. You know, we weren't commuting in, you know, into an office every day. And for a lot of people, this was really difficult. This was, it was forced. And I think that makes it even more difficult because, you know, nobody asked for this. So it made it even more difficult. But it was really necessary, you know, and it kind of gave us this opportunity. To me, you know, it almost felt like the universe was trying to put us all in like a giant timeout corner, you know, like sit here and think about what you've done to the planet, you know? And it was really difficult, you know, and I think it's, you know, maybe when we come to this, you know, maybe now that, you know, maybe we can approach this now with a softer, like a gentler attitude. So from here, you know, like, let's talk about the Danish concept of something called hygge, which is spelled, it's not spelled the way it's pronounced. It's actually spelled H-Y-G-G-E. And it found its way into the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, I think in like 2016 or 2017. And it's this Danish concept that can be traced all the way back to the Middle Ages, mostly in Denmark, but in a couple other Scandinavian countries, you know, which are very dark, very cold. Their winters last a lot longer than ours do here in the Adirondacks. And this whole concept of hygge is about taking time in a quiet setting to be with close friends and family, and it's completely unstructured time. So this is like, you know, this is, you know, kind of along the lines of what Lynn Roberts talks about in her one book about her one book Shapeshifting into Higher Consciousness, about, you know, taking this unstructured time to dream. And the Danish concept of hygge, it's really about making yourself cozy in your own home, in your own home. And, you know, for me, it kind of begs the question, like, why is that so difficult for so many people? Like, what are we all running away from? What are we trying to distract ourselves from? Why is it so difficult, you know, for so many people to find a way to make yourself comfortable in your own home? You know, a couple of quiet nights in with your close family or your loved ones, or even by yourself, you know, getting to be comfortable with being by yourself and really getting to know yourself. You know, so when we're talking about embodying the energy of the hermit, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean retreating to a ice cold mountaintop, you know, and looking down your nose at all of humanity. You know, the tarot is evolving as we evolve, you know, and it needs to do that to stay relevant. And I'm really happy to see like a lot of modern tarot readers are, you know, are working with this new energy and evolving these things. And, you know, last winter, a friend and I committed to making little hygge niches for ourselves in our homes. You know, we knew it was going to be another long, cold winter. And, you know, I was recovering from COVID at the time. And, you know, my energy, it took months for my energy to come back from COVID. So I was like, you know, I'm going to just go with it. And, you know, I'm just going to make myself a little hygge niche. And our house is very small, so that was a little challenging for me. But I found a place. I made a nice little place. You know, I made a nice little place in my dining room, on the back side of the chimney where we have our fireplace insert. So it was nice and warm, but it wasn't too warm. And we have adjustable dimmer lights in the dining room. So I was able to get like a comfy chair with a cushion on it, and I was able to dim the lights so they're not too harsh. And I spent many evenings after dinner, my routine after dinner, you know, we we would hang out, me and my family, we would just, we would hang out, and my husband and son would watch YouTube videos, and I would sit there and listen and paint watercolors. And let me tell you, painting watercolors in the dead of winter is like the per was like the perfect color therapy that I needed last winter to get through the winter. Just, being able to mix color, learning how to mix colors, and just every night knowing that I was going to look at this beautiful bright rainbow of colors in my watercolor palette. It was just, it's what got me through the days, because I knew after dinner, once everything was cleared away and the dishes were done, and I had a cup of, I had a nice warm cup of tea to help me get ready for bed, and I would just sit there and I would just paint, beautiful colors all, for a couple hours at night. And if I wasn't doing that, I was stitching up beaded earrings. I made dozens of pairs of beautiful long sea bead earrings, which I haven't done in years and years and years. And it was just what I needed to get through the winter, And, that's kind of what we're talking about also, when we talk about this energy of the hermit. We're talking about retreating. We're talking about, like when you go on a retreat, yoga retreats and spiritual retreats and all these retreats, these things are everywhere these days. But a lot of them, a lot of them have become very overly commercialized, and they become very capitalist, and there's really not much retreat about them anymore. So we're talking about the hermit, we're talking about this, talking about maybe doing like a silent meditation retreat, which is something I'm very interested in doing at some point, in the near future. I just have to figure that out. And so, if we can get past the chatter in our head, and we can kind of pull back from the distractions, whatever those may be, whether it's Netflix or Hulu, or, going out to eat every night, or, these things that we do to distract us. And it can even be, and I can also at the same time acknowledge that there is a lot of worry going around. I think pretty much everybody that I know right now is stressed out and in survival mode. And I know that it does take a certain amount of privilege to be able to step back from that worry and step back from that chatter to go into this kind of retreat. And that's one of the things that, living in a capitalist society makes it really difficult to do. Living in this kind of a and in this kind of like a profit-driven, pr compulsive production society makes it really difficult for us to kind of step back and see who we are outside of capitalism. Who are we outside of our spending habits, and who are we outside of our Google algorithm? This is really what the hermit is all about. And even if you can do it for just one night out of this entire winter that we have stretched before us, it's worth it. Even if you can take just one night, just, 1 hour or 2 hours out of one night, I promise it'll totally be worth it to kind of take that step back and try to figure out, maybe do a little soul searching on who you are, because I think a lot of us have forgotten. Many of us, as we hit this, state, this crone stage in our lives, we start to wonder about this. We start to wonder, like some of us have raised children and families and had careers, and, we kind of see these things dropping away, and we're like, well, who am I outside of all these other labels, and who we are outside of these names that we've given ourselves, and who are we outside of these things that we've accomplished, these mountains that we've climbed on our way to, on our way to acquire all this experience and wisdom. Talking about that, I came up with a little 5-card tarot spread, that anybody can do. And the first thing to do is go through your deck and pull out your hermit card. And, you know, if you have a journal, a pen and pencil, I'm a huge fan of tarot journaling. Take that card out and just kind of set it at the top, you know, set it in front of you and spend a few minutes just kind of gazing at it and notice what jumps out at you. You know, let your mind quiet, let yourself come into the rhythm of your breath. If you need to deepen your breath a little bit while you stare, you know, while you gaze at this card, go ahead and do that. And, you know, notice anything that comes up for you. Notice anything that pops into your head that kind of sticks around, you know. And then you can pull five cards, and just spread them out in front of you underneath the hermit, you know, one going from left to right, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And again, you know, like I'm a huge fan of just kind of free form tarot readings. So, you know, if you want to put the cards in a little formation, you can do that. Just make sure you remember which card is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And you don't even have to draw them all at the same time. You could draw them one at a time, you know, if that helps. So the first card number one, the first card that you pull or turn over is going to be, tell me about my authentic self. And again, you know, there may be some blocks associated with this card. You know, there may be some, you know, you may think like, well, that's not really me. But again, you know, I'd ask you to just sit with it. And, you know, you might find that it is relevant to you, you know, maybe not straight away, but it may become relevant, you know, in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. And again, this is why I'm such a huge fan of tarot journaling, because you can write down any impressions that come up when you look at this card, when you say, tell me about my authentic self, right? Write down what pops up, right? You know, even maybe write down what doesn't resonate with you about this card and your authentic self. You know, sometimes it's more important to pay attention to the things that don't resonate, because those little uncomfortable sticky parts, that's where we have tremendous opportunity for growth. So that's your first card. Tell me about my authentic self. The second one, card two, what's making me feel like I have to hide my authentic self from others? And this is really anybody who has even a smidgen of neurodivergence will understand this. Because a lot of us, we have to mask. You know, we have to hide who we really are. We have to hide, you know, and even those of us who aren't necessarily neurodivergent, we may feel like we have to hide our enthusiasm for certain things. We may feel like we have to hide the things that excite us, and we have to hide the things that we're passionate about because they're not cool. You know, I see this a lot with my teenage son. You know, he back when at one point during the pandemic, I was homeschooling him because there was no remote option for school. And we were doing kind of like a history slash music class. And we watched this great documentary about the ukulele, which, you know, everybody knows that I'm a total ukulele geek, and I'm also a history geek. And we were watching this amazing documentary called Mighty Uke. And it was so interesting. It was so funny to watch my son, because he was obviously getting really into this. He was getting really interested in this documentary. And I could see, like, on his face and the questions he asked me, he was really getting into the whole idea of the history of this instrument. And then it was really interesting because he all of a sudden, like, I saw the mask come down. Like, as soon as he started showing a little bit of interest, he was like, nope, I can't do it. You know, he had to hide that enthusiasm. And I think a lot of us do that. A lot of us hide the things that make us joyful, that bring us joy, and that we're, you know, that we're passionate about. So what is that? Why do we do that? So that second card may help you uncover a little bit of why you feel like you have to hide your authentic self from other people. All right, and then card number three, what can I bring into the light to share with others? And again, you know, as we're talking here about the hermit, as we move through winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, talking about, you know, the light
that's just kind of creeping back into our days. And as that light kind of comes back, starts showing itself more and more, what can we bring to light to share with others, right? And again, like the light, you know, we don't have to do it like all at once, you know, it doesn't have to be a bonfire, it doesn't have to be a raging bonfire. It can be just a little bit, you know, what's one thing you can do to share that light with others? You know, maybe it's a funky piece of jewelry, or maybe it's, you know, a different color than you normally wear. You know, maybe it's giving a compliment to a stranger. All these things, you know, all these little tiny things that we can do to kind of bring, you know, to we can kind of bring into the light about ourselves that we can share with others. And then the second card, or sorry, the next card, card four. What do I need to let go of that is distracting me? And this is going to be a big one, I think, for a lot of people. And again, another reason why I'm such a huge fan of journaling when you're doing a tarot reading. Because there are many things that we use to distract us. You know, we sometimes take on extra responsibilities to avoid, you know, to avoid spending time with ourselves. You know, we feel like we have to do these things so other people will like us. You know, there's all these reasons why we distract ourselves. And, you know, now we're going to really ask ourselves, what do I need to let go of that distracts me? And, you know, and you may feel, you know, this is something that, you know, you may feel, you may have already known it in the back of your head. And pulling this card, you're just going to be like, okay, yep, this is what has to happen. This is what I have to let go of. And then the last card, you know, when I read tarot or when I'm coming up with a tarot spread for something like this, I always like to ask, you know, what's an action step that I can take? You know, because all of this knowledge is great, but unless we do something with it, it's not going to be, you know, it's not really going to, it's not going to get us very far if we have all this knowledge and we don't have any concrete steps to use it. So, what's one small action step that you can take, that I can take to move forward? You know, and it can be a very, very small step. It can be just one thing. And, you know, and again, this may be a card, you know, this card, it may not resonate with you straight off the bat. So again, you know, writing this down in your journal is a good thing, and you might circle back to it. You know, you might circle back to it in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. And you know, and then you know, it's just, and again, you know, once you drop that, just once you drop these distractions, you've dropped these things that, you know, you use to kind of avoid taking action. You know, it might be a very simple thing, something very easy, something very simple. And when you know, looking at these questions, you know, when I was coming up with this spread, and I was looking at these questions, I was like, you know, they seem pretty basic. You know, these are things that, you know, we really need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis anyway. But, you know, doing it now at this time, you know, when the energy of winter is with us, and, you know, the energy of winter is really, really asking us and inviting us and welcoming us into this headspace where we can do this work, you know, these questions really are, you know, when you look at them from the perspective of the energy of the hermit, it can have a pretty big impact on what we know about ourselves, what we think we know about ourselves. You know, there may be things, you know, we grow, we evolve. And, you know, if you ask yourself these questions in a year, they might be totally different. You know, ask yourself these questions in 6 months, it might be completely different. So, you know, and again, just stay open to what comes up for you when you pull these cards. And, you know, and I can highly recommend, doing them in your own little hygge niche somewhere in your house, wherever you can make a cozy little niche, you know, like find a little space, or, you know, take a space that you already inhabit and make it like extra cozy this winter. You know, get that fuzzy fleece blanket, you know, get the fuzzy slippers, get the big soft squishy pillow, you know, get the hot chocolate, the hot tea, you know, the things that warm you up from the inside out, you know, and really spend some time with the hermit and thinking about these questions of self-exploration.
I really want a hygge niche. Am I saying that right?
Yep, hygge.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, when the semester is over, I'm going to have a month of hygge niche.
Perfect. Yep.
Thank you so much for sharing. I also can't wait to pull out my tarot deck and play with those cards. Probably also after the semester's over. Thank you so much. And I will look forward to having you back again next month.
Thank you. Yeah, it'll be next year. It'll be 2024.
Next year.
Thank you for having me, Debbie.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.